I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
Welcome into Spare Change, part of Stacking Pennies, presented by Mobile One. Good to be with you from a sweltering hot Texas. Getting ready for race day with Corey LaJoy, Ryan Flores, Danielle Trotta here. Boys, a crazy Xfinity race for the Cup race. Bubba's on the pole and a whole lot of questions about this hot, slick track. Corey, how was your run?
Well, to start, I've heard sweltering twice in the last 12 hours, and I probably haven't heard it ever in my life. So my wife said it was sweltering when we got off the plane, and I've been giving her hell about it the rest of the weekend. And you just said that it's sweltering, but
okay,
that's what it is.
Did you give her hell because you don't know what the word means?
I know what it means. I've just been using different renditions of sweltering too. I've been using it in the wrong context the rest of the weekend, but for all intents and purposes, it is hot as two rats in a wool sock down here in Texas.
Yes. How did that affect the lap?
We unloaded with a pretty good balance. I think we ended up seventh in Group A, 12th overall, which Group A generally has a little more speed because the track's green, then it gets rubbered up for the second round of guys. And it kind of flip-flops for Group 2 in qualifying. As the more cars run, the cleaner the track gets. As we saw, Group 2 times were significantly faster than Group A times. Went out seventh. I didn't get it all. I thought I laid a decent fairway lap down, and just the car didn't have great speed. We were 27th. I left some speed on the table, but you just can't not go full commit. I mean, you got to send it. You can't leave 1% of effort on the table. If not, you're going to be rolling off deep 27th. So unfortunately, we got a work cut out for us, but I like our long run speed, and it's going to be even more super sweltering tomorrow. Or today, when you're listening to this, for track temps over 135 degrees, it's going to be hot in the pits. So, Flores, how do you guys keep cool on a day like today, where it's just blazing hot?
Find shade as much as you can, and it'll shift during the day. So as the sun goes down, you'll see everybody's seats start moving around the pit box, wherever. Like if it starts just in front of it, or like, you know, if this, however the track's facing, you'll see guys start shifting. And then what, we just have fans, but we're not like a bunch of sissies like the drivers. We don't need like a suit with a cooler on it and all that.
Well, yeah, because you guys only work for 8.5 seconds about five times the entire day. So
if I do 5 8.5 second stops tomorrow, I'm asking for a raise, son.
It's gonna be wild. It's probably one of the hottest races we've had in as long as I can remember. And Toyota seem to be just getting collectively stronger as we go. We talked about it in our hauler after practice. It's like, man, the Gibbs, particularly 23-11, with Bubba no less. Generally, when we're talking about 23-11, we're talking about the 45. But the 23 was a statement lap on the pole today. And this is probably probably one of the hardest tracks to pass, as we saw that in the Xfinity race yesterday. Even the best cars can't make their way through the field. So Bubba has a great, great starting position there, 400 miles, but it's not going to be easy. There's a lot of good cars behind him.
One of those cars, a couple of those cars, the playoff drivers, I was a little surprised. I think the top Hendrick qualifying driver was Larson in 11th. How hard is it going to be to make up track position, Corey?
Yeah, I wonder if this is going to be a scenario where you see guys super trimmed out to go lay a good lap down in qualifying, and then not have enough downforce built in their cars to race, which I can go either way on that. I could probably make a case for both, but I rarely do you see Kyle Larson be mired back in you know, outside the top 10 for very long. He's going to make his way to the front. The other ones, though, made me scratch my head with William Byron in 18th. I think Clyde's rolling off in 29th. It doesn't take much, guys. I talk about it every week. It doesn't take much to be a little bit off because the field is so much tighter than it has been. So I don't know. For me, the looking at the lap averages, even though that so the five was pretty strong. He was one of the only ones that worked up in that lane too, like we saw in the Xfinity race, really get worked in well. Everybody was a little bit timid to go up there. Obviously, the five was not. So he was making some speed towards the end of his practice run. The one was pretty good. He had long run capability, and he's got a good starting position as well. But it's going to be. I think the race, like we talk about every day or every week, the race can't be won on pit road, but it can be lost. But I think your pit crew can stack pennies and get you a couple spots and get you in position on the front row to win today.
Well, it'll be like it was last week too, right? We sat right here last week on Saturday and said Kyle Larson was doomed and there's no way he's going to get track position. Then he about got stage points in the first stage, right? Like, it's going to be as much about executing on pit road, but more about executing on top of the pit box. Because I think we saw last year, especially after what we saw in the Xfinity race today, and then, like, I look at the 47, right? He busted his ass on his outlap. There's going to be cautions tomorrow. It's most likely not going to run green. I know we saw tire issues last year, but you said that seems to be fixed. But you're going to have to, the strategy is going to get flipped, right? Because you're going to be in a position at some point where the stage break's coming up, but you have enough fuel and there's a fuel window, but you just got tires. So you're going to be either the last car on tires or the first car on four, the first car on two. So, like, to figure that out and see where it lands, I think that's kind of been the tail of the tape to see where everybody shakes out. But with it being that hard to pass, I don't know how much left side tire is going to be worth. Right sides are definitely going to be a play later in the race.
So I wonder if it'll be this is above my pay grade. It's stuff that Sparks and my engineer look at in between Saturday night and Sunday is how much, I guess, tire degradation or how much wear you get in your tires. And if one side is wearing more or less, but if they're wearing fairly evenly, it might be a right, left, right play potentially late in the race to get your track position if you can hang on. But the track did widen out more than I expected in the Xfinity race. So I hope that it offers a little bit more passing opportunities for us because, man, this track's so fast and just the way it's configured now doesn't really lend its hand to generating a whole lot of runs. But I looked at, I was watching obviously qualifying, but Ricky Stenhouse spinning out, coming up to speed. There's not very many moments where, you know, a professional race car driver shows the world that if you're sitting in the grandstands and you're probably a critic that you can't drive these cars. Like, if you have a momentary lapse of concentration, you will bust your ass, even when you're only going 100 miles an hour in these cup cars.
The 10 car hit the fence, getting up to speed too, off of two there.
Dude, it's like, you just got up too high. It's dirty. Yeah. Yeah, the track's dirty. We saw two guys first lap of the Xfinity race. The one in the 98 plowed it in the fence, bended both of their days. So there's a little bit of cautiousness you're going to have until that old resin is activated. You can get up there and actually start making speed. But, yeah, I think you will see guys on the verge of slip, and you're going to see some guys make mistakes tomorrow. What do you think? Who's your pick, Danielle? Who you like?
My pick in our fantasy league on Sirius was Byron, but I pick last because I'm first in points, so first goes last. I had – no, I'm sorry. Yeah,
I ended up with – subtle brag. I like that.
Subtle brag, Larry.
Points leader.
Thank you, Larry Mack. I like Larson. I like Byron. I liked Reddick. And I'll be honest, I almost pulled the trigger on the six, and I was like, I'm not sure. The mile and a half in the first round, like, the RFK cars struggled, and I was like, I don't know if they have the speed to compete at the one and a halves. Pratt and Chris Buescher looked good in qualifying. I was like, dang, maybe I missed something.
Well, starting P2 and P3, so they actually have, looks like a pretty good lock on the field. I just love Chris Buescher's style, man. He's just like, He just goes out there, gets the job done, puts his cowboy boots on, and he goes and drives and probably ropes a goat on the way home from work. Like, that's just his style, especially down here in Texas. Home state race for him. He's jazzed up. He's probably got one of those, what do they think, those long things that cowboys have in their mouth, one of those wheat stalks sticking out of his mouth. You don't want to mess with
Chris. He's definitely wearing Wranglers and a plaid shirt.
Just stiff, too. Stiff as a board.
Nice little dip in there on the way to the airport.
So based on that hometown juice that Chris Buescher is going to be having riding this weekend, I'm going with the 7.
It's a good pick.
It's hard. The Fords, man. The Fords blow my mind. And I know I work for a Ford team, but obviously that's way above my pay grade, the way they all work together. But you look at second and third, right, is 17 and the 6. And usually, like, the Toyotas all kind of land together. The key partner Chevys all kind of land together. But you look at the Fords, they're second and third. And then the next one is Michael McDowell, who's not even a key partner team, and 17th. Then you got to go to the next key partner Ford is 20th, and Joey Logano. And all the Penske cars are behind him, so... It's going to be a sweltering day on pit road.
Speaking of sweltering, Corey, drinking word of the day, no alcohol for you, race day, got to be hydrated. Fast questions. Cool suit?
Absolutely.
Water, Gatorade, Celsius, what do you use in the car to keep hydrated?
So I have worked a lot with this. I've tried a bunch of different combinations, right? You want water, just too much water. Just makes you sick to your stomach because there's no substance in it. Tried the Gatorade. It's got too much sugar in it. So I've landed on a product from a company called 10 Performance. It's called ProCarb. Just a powder that's like, it's thick. It's almost like the consistency of like a Frosty. Like if like a Frosty was like a little bit melted, and it's got it's got no sugar. It's got some carbohydrates. So my stomach doesn't get empty. Like I'm not hungry after the race. So I'll go through a bottle every stop of that, and that's what makes me feel pretty good. So it's like an electrolyte carbohydrate mix.
Can you hydrate during a lap or only hydrate on pit road during a stop?
Just under caution. So if you get a long green run towards the end of the race and you know you're even a green flag stop, you can't even really reach down and grab a water bottle. Now tomorrow would be a race where if I think we're pitted towards turn 4, so as we stop, pull in, if it's a green flag stop and you're starting to get hot and you know you're starting to be low on liquids, you will find your lights and you will try to get some liquid in you down the stretch of pit road, probably for the 10 to 12 seconds that you have to, I guess, quote unquote, rest. And then you try to find your cup holder and then you drop the gear and keep it moving. But yeah,
I've got the second part to those questions. Maybe more important, maybe same importance. Do you wear your cool suit and your little charger thing that hangs out of your fire suit to driver intros?
No, I okay, don't know why. It's a terrible look. I don't know why guys do that. It's like, what would be another athletic?
Wear your helmet. Wear your Hans device to driver intros next.
That would be the same thing. It's the same.
Why don't you wear your gloves to driver intros, guys?
It's the same thing. So what he's referring to, for those who don't know, there's holes. So your cool shirt has this like umbilical type hose that comes out that plugs into the unit. Guys will just let it hang out and flop around during driver intros like they're just letting the thing hang out in the breeze. It's like, guy, tuck that thing in. What, like, you're indecent. I leave mine in my shirt and like it, let it just go down and they'll hang down like in my fire suit like a normal person. And then when it gets time to go in the... It's like wearing your hybrid
short track. Yeah. And someone wears their hybrid, do they driver intros?
It would be like going to the bowling alley and wearing your bowling shoes out of your house to dinner and then going to the bowling alley. That's what it'd be like.
Second question. You have to tell the truth on this one. Okay. With all this hydration talk, if you overhydrate, are you pissing in your seat tomorrow or have you ever had to piss in your seat?
Dude, I've been, the answer, I've never pissed in my seat. And that's a God honest truth. There's been times, especially you drink a lot just out of habit on a race weekend, but you go to like a Daytona, Talladega, where you don't, it's not really physically demanding. It's more mentally demanding and you're not really sweating a whole lot. I've legitimately raced the last 20 laps of a speeder race thinking if I crash, my bladder's going to explode. And I just cannot get myself, you know how some people just have mental blocks of like peeing in the pool, can't do it. Like I just can't do it. So I don't think you're gonna have a problem with that, because you're gonna sweat between 8 to 10 pounds tomorrow. I mean, you are gonna be smoked.
That's where I was going next, Corey. Let's put a bet over under 9. How much weight Corey loses in the car tomorrow?
It'll be under that. I didn't step on the scale before I left the house, but it'll be a high end for me is like 7. So it'll be a 7, maybe 8 pounder.
How long does it take to get that back?
Like Tuesday afternoon, you know, just try to catch up on your food, try to catch up on hydration. But yeah, that's why originally we started recording the podcast on Tuesdays, just because you're so gassed. Now it seems like Denny flies his plane home from the race and literally drives straight to the podcast studio. So maybe he's more of a man than I am.
I think it's in his house. He has an unfair advantage.
Like they just do it. He's sitting there in his bathrobe.
Well, I think Dirty Mo like built it at, like it was at one end of the wing of the mansion, like a wing that maybe wasn't being used.
He's got several of them over there that aren't used. It's quite large.
I just pulled up pit road map, looking at your stalls tomorrow. I hope you get off sequence, because you're in between the 3 and the 16. Mm-hmm. So that could be a pretty challenging day for you. You'll be down in pit stall 36. We don't have a great one. We're in between the 78 and the 1 car. The 1's got an opening out. We're in 15. And obviously the 23 with pit stall 1. The 17's got a great pit stall. Pit stall 6 with an opening out. So it's going to be an interesting day. Back to I don't know who to pick, Daniel. Maybe I'm going to go with I think because they didn't qualify in the poll. And are not in pit stall 1, I'm going to pick the 20 car.
Oh. Yeah, that's a great pick. I don't know, man. He was around the last lap of practice. I mean, he was spun out at cars on edge.
And he put in the top 10.
Well, obviously, he's a pretty good qualifier, because he almost had, was it 4 in a row? 5 in a row. This would have been 4 in a row.
I think that old cowboy was like, I'm going to detune this thing, because the pole hasn't been working out for us. Hey,
maybe
cowboy,
so.
Don't get the pole, cowboy.
Yeah, big guy.
Adam Stevens. Yeah.
I don't know if you can make it to Texas without a stop at Bucky.
I've already been there once. This was Kelly's maiden voyage to Bucky's. Her mind is blown. I think she was a Bucky's hater, because anytime that I've been, whether it be the motorhome or wherever, she stayed in the motorhome and watched the kids. I go in there like a kid in a candy store, literally, and get everything you need, right? You get the brisket sandwich. You get a drink. You can get a hula hoop, a pellet grill.
Flip-flops.
A bucket hat. Flip-flops.
Show us some of the swag. What'd you get at the kiddos?
Well, I'm wearing a shirt right now. Bucky's Athletic Department. There's nothing athletic about the majority of the people that shop at a Bucky's, but I got the shirt. There's a jar of pickled sections. Pickled okra, pickled olives, pickled this, pickled that. Got some pickled green jalapeno stuffed green olives. Those are banging.
Corey LaJoy, big pickle guy. He'll actually drink pickle juice for those. He's that guy.
Yes. Big pickle guy.
I don't know.
I haven't had Bucky's pickles yet. I have to figure that out. Got a couple shirts for the kiddos. Bucky's Beavers. Great shirt. Tie-dye for Levi. You know, and then I got 2 Rhino tacos, iced coffee. My hands were full. And my heart was full. Bucky's makes me happy.
You've never been?
No. Never
you're
been.
Dallas. You bet. Dallas at the Mecham Auction. So you'll be at the track. So on your way in.
So I'm going to do.
Right in the well, Bucky's. No. Don't just like make it like plan your morning around it. If you were planning on leaving at 9, leave at 8:35. Give yourself a full 45 minutes to see it all. Okay. See the beef jerky section. See all the different types of trail mix they have in there. They have a tire wall full of meat rub. You can legitimately get whatever you could possibly want. I'm sure Robbie's a pro. He'll probably take you around, get you everything you need, but you do not want to miss the stop at Bucky's.
Remember when we rained out and we stayed there for like 4 days, 5 days? I ate Bucky's 24/7 for 5 days in the misty rain of Texas.
Yeah.
I still have beaver nuggets somewhere in my digestion. Digestive crack. There's no chance they're all gone.
They kept NASCAR alive till about Wednesday.
No doubt.
You know what? You know why else we need to go? Because we have to get our boy a birthday present.
Ooh.
Where are you going?
I'm gonna go to Bucky's first class.
Oh. just get me a gift card on it, an endless gift card, and
that's cheating. You got to get like a Bucky's visor.
I can't tell you what to get, but Kelly had a great idea for Halloween is to get like the full size Bucky zip up pajamas with the hood that looks like a beaver. Get like a matching set of four for the family for Halloween. We didn't pull a trigger on it, but if I see a Bucky's between now and Halloween, best know that that's what's going to happen.
You're giving us good ideas.
Yeah, but I'm going to try to get one more good run in me in my 31 years of age, turning 32 on Monday. So if I can get, I think our car is capable of a top 15. If we get some track position, we can hold it. It'd be nice to end this trip around the sun with a solid day for sure.
Wish you the best of luck, Cor Flores. Get them tight. Sub 9.
Dang right.
Any last words?
Watch it on USA, guys. I believe it is 2:30 Eastern time.
2:30 local, 3:30 Eastern.
Okay. Don't miss it.
USA. And a reminder, too, after this race, the rest of the races, the end of 2023, every Cup race will be on NBC. Tomorrow is on USA. Then we're on the big network for the final stretch of the champion, right? So tune in tomorrow. We'll be watching both of you guys, and we'll recap it all coming up next week. For Flores, Corey, I'm Danielle. Corey has the last word.
This was a sweltering show.
Sweltering. Good measure on the way out. Have a sweltering Sunday, everybody, like Corey will inside the car. This is Spare Change presented by Mobile One.